The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, I'm joined now by Ciarán Mulholland, who's a solicitor with Mulholland Law. And we've been hearing over the weekend, Ciarán, about Daniel Kinahan's arrest, and it's expected that he will be extradited to Ireland. Now, before we get to the whole legal process behind all of that, you say the fact that he was arrested in the first instance was unusual. Tell us why.
Good morning, Claire. Good morning, viewer listeners. It is unusual because we're dealing with the Emirates and Ireland, two states that actually do not have an extradition treaty between them. So this is a bilateral agreement, and it's a specific request made by the Irish authorities for Daniel Kinahan. This has only been done once, as far as I'm aware, and that was the case of Liam Byrne in recent years.
So given that the precedent has been set then, would that in itself, the fact that there isn't a formal extradition agreement, give you grounds to appeal it in the first instance, or as you have given the example of it happening successfully in another case, does that mean that it can happen here?
Well, it shows the rigour and the intent of the state when bilateral agreements are made. One was made with Brazil before in the case of Michael Lidswood. It's not unprecedented for states to make and seek individuals that they don't have extradition agreements with, but this is a very unusual, this is a very unusual case in itself.
Tell me why.
Well, first of all, the state has sought an agreement with the authorities in Dubai. That agreement has been reached, and from as far as I'm aware, the authorities in Dubai have sought evidence and have sought a report from an Garda Síochána Conna and the authorities in Ireland to lay out their case and specifically the details of why they seek the return of Mr. Kinahan to the Irish courts. So that would give some insight into the intent of the Irish state when it comes to this case.
So what happens next if you're Daniel Kinahan or his legal team? Where do you go with this?
Well, like any extradition case, the request has been made from Ireland. Ireland is the requesting state, and the individual who has been sought has an opportunity to challenge that. They can challenge it. They can fight it. Alternatively, they can agree to the surrender. And the extradition process is somewhat different from the criminal courts. It is not there to determine guilt or innocence. It's there to determine whether you are the individual being sought. Secondly, whether there's a corresponding offence in that state and should you be extradited. So, for example, in Ireland at the minute, it is not unusual to have extradition requests. There's extradition cases being heard quite frequently in the High Court, but they are all under the European Arrest Warrant Scheme or the Trade and Cooperation Agreement. Which would be for requests either to another European state or, when it comes to the Trade and Cooperation Act, to the United Kingdom. And those particular cases would have a presumption of extradition. And when there's an agreement made, there will be a presumption of extradition. So there's a very high threshold to fight these cases.
Yeah, and it's also, as you say, and we started at this point, this is unusual because it involves the UAE and Ireland. And so is it difficult then to map out what this might look like from here and what the timeline could be?
Well, the timeline with the acts, they move quite quickly. Extradition requests will generally move quite quickly when there's an act in place. When there's a standalone bilateral agreement, how long is a piece of string? But if you look at the last case of Mr. Byrne, it moved quite quickly, and it moved quite quickly in circumstances where bail was denied and the individual consented ultimately then to the surrender. Those are the factors that will determine how long this process will be.
And I think we've all heard about conditions in jail in the UAE. So if you are denied bail, that might influence your decision to challenge the extradition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, it also determines what way the individual wants to deal with the criminal charges and that they're facing. Do they want to challenge them, and how the best they want to challenge them? And ultimately, in order to challenge them, you need to be in the state that's trying you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, given what you've said then, it would seem that we might expect to see Daniel Kinahan in Ireland sooner rather than later.
It's a possibility, and if you look at the last case, it's certainly reasonable to make that assumption.
Mm-hmm. But then the state has to deal with all of the ensuing issues around the high level of security that it is expected will be needed to deal with Daniel Kinahan coming back to Ireland.
That's correct, but ultimately Daniel Kinahan enjoys the presumption of innocence, and should Daniel Kinahan consent to the surrender, well, then he is entitled, irrespective of what's in the media, to due process and should be tried accordingly before the courts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you can answer this, Ciarán, but if the authorities in the UAE have decided that you're an individual that should be extradited to any country, given how the UAE is run, is there any point in trying to challenge that decision?
I certainly wouldn't be an expert in the Emirates law, but I think there's enough out there in terms of how they treat individuals, and the manner in which their criminal justice system works, and even when it comes to the extradition and Interpol notices, it is a lot to be desired. It doesn't seem to be very much that can be done, in my view, if the Emirates authorities are in favour of your extradition.
Ciarán, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. That was Ciarán Mulholland, who's a solicitor with Mulholland Law.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.